B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up, Mike's ready.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Mussnell Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. It's a Tuesday, and tonight a big night. I don't know how many people are going to stay up for it, but the Lake Show. And I don't think the Sixers are going to fare very well tonight. But it is going to be interesting to see how our boy Shake can rebound from one game to the next. And if he does it again in enemy territory against a pretty good team where LeBron James on the floor, well, then, you know, you're inching closer to having faith in a guy that can do something in the playoffs. Tyrone, the stakes are high for you tonight for the Shakester.
Yeah, I'll be up late watching the game. I hope I can make it to the end. Sometimes halftime trips me up on these West Coast games. I get a lull and I nod off it and wake up in the fourth. But okay. I'll be up. And I think Shake, now, fans got to be realistic. He's not going to shoot 70% from three again. Yeah. Like, that's probably not going to happen. But I am interested if the moment, he's been getting a lot of attention. Now, will the moment be too big for him? That's what I'm watching. How does he move? Does he get the same shots he got against the Clippers, against the Lakers? I'm very interested in seeing that.
I'm not going to take the melatonin until after the third quarter.
Oh, there you go. Where it kicks in.
Exactly.
There you go.
Well, it's either I take the melatonin after the third, I'm trying to time it right. The third quarter or the seventh time Zeus says locked all windows and doors. That's what I'm going to put through the melatonin. Right? By the third. I'm thinking he needs the seven by the third quarter. Is that good? You got me?
I got you.
All right. So anyway, there's a bigger theme I want to talk about today because the feedback that we are getting from Flyer fans knows no limits here. And they go on and on and on. And the notion is that we have been unfair to the Flyers, and because we have been unfair to the Flyers, and unfairness is defined by us not really talking about them appreciably for most of the season, that we now have become the enemy. And so the knee-jerk response from a lot of Flyer fans is, oh, since you didn't talk about us earlier, you don't have the right to talk about us now. And they draw a little circle, which is fine because I understand it. I understand exactly where they're coming from. But there is this dichotomy between what we do and what teams do. And I want to try to explain this, at least from my viewpoint. Because I got this tweet from a guy, and I try to explain to the person that what I do is simple. I talk about teams because most people think that we need to be more supportive of teams, right? And they don't understand that we have to look at it for their sake. We have to look at it different, a little differently than they do. They are more fanish than we can afford to be because our responsibility is to give us the honest opinion on what we see. So, in other words, I try to be the advocate. I have a simple mantra, which is this. If the team is doing right by the fan, I'll laud the team. When I sense that the team is not doing right by the fan, and right by the fan could have so many subsections, then I will criticize. And I think that that is the most fair and honest way to do it when in our job, when we're looking at teams. And so right now, the way we're talking about the Flyers is we are lauding that the Flyers have done right by their fans. For a long time, they did not. I mean, let's not kid ourselves, Flyer fans. For a long time, they did not. And you bought into everything that they did. So right now, they changed the script a little bit. And they are making more of an effort to do right by the fans. They've changed up a lot of things. They've got a different mindset. They've incorporated speed. They're having faith in younger players instead of having them buried in the minor leagues. They're making a transition that reflects modern times, which to me is to be lauded. Now, have you heard me laud the Sixers lately? Because people go, well, you're all in the Sixers. And blah, 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 blah. I can't be any more clear than the Sixers. I have told you that the Sixers are not a viable contender, in my opinion, right now. And that means whatever the Sixers tried to do, and there's a difference between trying to do something and how it actually turns out. At the start of the season, at least I saw, they were trying to do something to fortify their standing as a playoff contender. It hasn't turned out that way. So it goes like back and forth. Once you notice that it hasn't turned out that way, then we have the license to reevaluate what they are. And what they are right now is, in my opinion, they're not doing right by their fans. Now, that doesn't mean that I hate the Flyers or the Sixers. I like them both. I want both teams to win. But when you look at like what team, like the Eagles, are they doing right by the fans right now? We're in limbo with that. Are the Phillies doing right by their fans? Well, last year when they got Bryce Harper, damn right they were. They went out and got the best guy on the market and paid him the most money of anybody. That is to be lauded. Now, as it turned out, they haven't done enough. And coming into the season, it doesn't look like they're doing right by their fan because they have a ton of money that they didn't use to fortify their pitching staff. So to me, that's there it is. That opens an avenue for criticism from me. And I tried not to be on board with any particular team and tried to be an honest eyeball advocate for what the fans are. So I think the lines kind of got blurred here with the Flyers. The Flyers at the beginning of the season, there's no Flyer fan that can possibly sit here and tell me that they thought at the beginning of the season the Flyers would be at this level. Because if you're just, that's a lie. There's no way that anybody thought that. We were hoping that they could make the playoffs. That was the sole goal for the Flyers coming in for most of the fans. Now, Tyrone always thought they were going to make the playoffs. I had to be convinced. I didn't see it right away. Well, now I see a team doing right by their fans. So, like, I don't understand. We're not hiding anything. We're simple. We, like, expose ourselves. Like, here's what we are. At least here's what I am. What I see, I'm going to interpret for you. And right now, the Flyers are more viable than the Sixers. So when I say that, why, then, is that offensive to you? That's basically what I would like to know. Why is that offensive to you when all we're doing is being as honest as we can in evaluating all the teams? We know we have a pecking order to talk about. That's honesty. We're giving you, listen, this is the way it is. I didn't invent the rules, but this is how it's reflected in the city. And so right now, if your team that's ranked on a lower rung rises up to a higher level where they become a team that can actually be a viable championship contender, we're in. So what are they missing? What are they missing?
I think what they forgot with the Sixers have disappointed this year. No doubt about it. You know, I'm watching every dribble doing outside. They have disappointed.
Yeah.
But the previous 2 years, they won 50 games back-to-back. Mm-hmm. That means something. It's not a championship, but that's not nothing. That's an organization that you look at with young stars that are going in the right direction. At least that's what you think coming in. The Flyers have not won a playoff series since 2011. Mm-hmm. Therefore, when you come into the year, you don't have that same kind of buzz coming in. And I think they think that we should have had the same buzz in the beginning for the Flyers, which was unearned buzz, by the way, as for the Sixers, which was earned buzz.
But see, that's a lie, because they didn't have the buzz.
But I know, but
the best of Flyer fans didn't even have that buzz.
Right, but what they'll say now is, you should have been, they'll start moving the goalposts. Then they'll say, oh, it should have been December. Well, then I check it, I say, well, actually, Mike had Vigneault on months ago. No, it should have been, they moved the goalposts to where they wanted to be.
And I'll tell you right now, moving the goalpost is unfair. It's just unfair, because now you want your cake and eat it too. Unless you saw something that we didn't see, you can't go back in time and go, nah, you guys were wrong and you guys are creeps.
Well, allegedly, right. They also want in-depth hockey analysis.
No, they don't.
That's what they're claiming, but, and we don't give that.
See here, Flyer fans, listen, I've followed you for a really long time, all right? I can do a thesis on Flyer fans. Flyer fans really aren't in tune with the game of hockey as much as they think they are. They're in tune with the Flyers, which is good. The fact that you're a loyal fan base for your team is fantastic. And you shouldn't let anything like that get in the way. But you also shouldn't blame people for not being Happy Harry about your franchise.
Right. And right now, let's say the Flyers, this continues, the Sixers continue to disappoint, the Flyers continue to impress. Going into next season, with a young goal, there would be more, depending on what the Sixers did, there would be much more hype about the Flyers because they would have earned it by winning a playoff series, something the Sixers have done each of the last 2 years. So separate from just the pecking order, which is just always going to exist, the Sixers had demonstrated more ability to succeed up until this point than the Flyers did. As soon as we noticed that the Flyers could do it, we start talking about it, and that's somehow a negative?
No.
I don't get it.
No, you're right. And here's the thing as we go ahead to break. The Flyers have clearly earned the hype as we sit here in early March. So why aren't you satisfied? Why aren't you yet satisfied with our reaction and joining the hype? Like, why is that a negative to you? Because that's what we're seeing. All of a sudden, like, we're in with the Flyers because they actually reached a plateau through hard work and through a steady climb upward of reaching the hype level of talking about them as a potential champion. And still, that is apparently not enough for you. So you hate it when we don't talk about them. When we talk about them, you hate it. Now, what sense does that make? Please explain that to me.
Can't.
Right. No clue.
Okay. So where we are right now in evaluating all the sports, let's just evaluate them here because we always like to take inventory of where we are status-wise with the four major sports teams we have in the city. The Sixers, I don't have a lot of hope for. I hope I'm wrong. I don't have a lot of hope for them. The Phillies, we haven't said peep about them. Now we're going to go to spring training. Now why haven't we said peep about them? Because there's no hype. There's no hype that follows the Phillies right now. Now maybe something will turn and they'll have a good season. But right now we're not talking about the Phillies. The Phillies aren't complaining. The Phillies aren't calling us and saying, hey, how come you're not talking about the Phillies? They understand. And the Eagles. Well, we can always talk about the Eagles. And we're going to still talk about the Eagles. But right now, do we see the Eagles as a contender? I don't. I'm not talking about them in the hype of a contender. So they got a lot of work to do. The Flyers have risen above all of them right now. And the pecking order now, as far as a team that can actually win something, goes like this. Flyers, Eagles, Sixers, Phillies.
Who?
Correct.
That's where we're at right now.
Inventory. Yeah. That's where it is right now. It's always a sliding scale. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. Mike Mussinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. Your calls after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. The Fanatic.
220. So much to talk about today. I'm going to spin off wildly in different directions here, including we're going to talk about ticket prices in light of what happened to Spike Lee last night, if you didn't see it. I don't know how to feel about this, the Spike Lee thing. But he had a rant last night going into the game. Yeah, do we have a problem with this microphone, Tyrone? Are you hearing me properly?
Yeah,
it sounds tinny.
Yeah, I had to turn it up.
Okay, we're good?
Yeah, we're all right.
Okay. Anyway, Spike Lee, I guess thinks he's earned the right to come in to an entrance that is reserved for employees, Garden employees, and press.
Apparently, he said he's been coming in there for 20-some years.
Yeah, he has. And also, last night, they stopped him.
Yeah, out of the blue.
Out of the blue, new policy. And he had a rant about it. Yeah. So we'll get into that in a little bit. And that's going to lead to a discussion about ticket prices, because ticket prices for the Sixers have gone up. And the price that Spike Lee pays is also going to go up for next year. And it's amazing. I don't know how many people understand how much these primo tickets are, like these first row tickets. Because, you know, I guess just the celebrity types get those tickets, and the really rich people
at the Wells Fargo Center get them. My buddy has two seats that are behind the basket right next to the Sixers bench. Those tickets that are behind the basket are a little less expensive than the first row tickets that go adjacent to the court. So we'll enlighten you with the new prices on that. And also, I want to mention this because we talked about Shake Milton scoring 39. Now, Ben Simmons probably in his life will never score 39.
Right.
Because you can't score 39 unless you're making a three.
Yes.
It's almost impossible. Unless you're Jordan, you know, it's almost impossible not to, in this day and age, to fortify your line score without a three to get to 39.
Because that's a lot of points.
It is. Booney has a story and on NBC Sports Philadelphia website where he has identified 10 Hall of Famers that never scored as many as 39 points in a game. Now, I looked at the list, and I go, like, a lot of these guys, in my view, don't belong in. But since they're in, you can examine and go, they're not really prolific scorers, except for one guy.
Who used to get his and still never got 39.
Right.
I'm looking forward to that, too.
All right, so, and he, I'll tell you, he played for the Lakers.
Okay, I'll have a guess when the time comes.
When the time comes?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. We have to take care of some business, which I forgot. The 2 o'clock sponsor of the 2 o'clock hour is Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And now it is time to start the Twitter poll. Yesterday's Twitter poll, kicked up a lot of fuss unexpectedly. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moore & Sons. Get your lawnmower zero turn or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moore & Sons online parts warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Over 300 votes on this one early. Which of the four teams is the most likely to win a championship? 58% say the Flyers, 10% say the Sixers, 5% say the Phillies, and 27% going Eagles.
All right, so there it is. The Flyer fans now are sounding off without bitterness.
Yet yesterday, they were mad that we asked the question of whether or not they can make the finals.
Yes.
They were angry that we asked the question about it.
There is not even a question that they have the best chance right now to win something. Now, I'm not going to kid you. Now, it may be by default, but it also may be because they have the look of something. And the NHL is kind of wider open than most of the other sports. So we'll see if that happens. All right, let's go. Thomas in Germantown, start things off. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, Mike.
What's up, Thomas?
Listen, I just want to say a couple things. One, why is Scott still on the team? Why didn't he go to the airport with Edis? And the lineup that I saw the last game, near the end of the game, why was number 30 still in the game? He lost the ball two or three times. He couldn't guard. Lou Williams was just shooting all in his face. But yet still, he was still on the floor.
Well, I'll tell you why. They're behind, and they needed three. And so,
but he didn't do nothing.
No, he didn't. But like, if you're the coach, you go, who can make a three? I need a couple here. So you take a shot with that dude. Because there's nobody else, really, you can count on. Really? Is there somebody else you would have? Would have counted on to actually make a three?
No, but see, that's not what I'm talking about as far as the three. I understand what you're saying about the three. I'm talking about as far as coming in and trying to guard Lou Williams. He wasn't guarding
nobody. I get it. He can't guard anybody. But you got to make a value judgment there. It's like you have your hand over a hand grenade. You're like, you never know when it's going to blow. But you have to have him on the floor to have a chance to make a three because you got to close a gap.
Okay, here's two more questions, and I'm going to hang up. How do you think the starting lineup should look tonight if three people that's out? And does Al Horford need to really come off the bench, do you understand, and be in the post instead of shooting threes?
He was in the post in the last game. He shot a couple threes, but he's not going to be out of the starting lineup. I mean, they need him in starting lineup now, right? Who else are you going to start? You got to have Horford start tonight.
Right, but who else is going to be in the starting lineup?
Well, Horford, Tobias Harris. Richardson's out, right? So it'll be Shake, probably the eyeball. And Robin, will they start Robinson again? I don't know. Listen, at this point, like, who would you start, Thomas?
I really don't know.
Does it really matter? You know, it doesn't really matter who they start tonight. Like, who else would be a candidate to start? You can't start Korkmaz.
No, because he's way more comfortable coming off the bench. I think that you go Shake, Thybulle, Robinson, just like last game.
He might not play Tobias and Horford.
Yeah. And then Burks will come off to be first. Mm-hmm. Him and Korkmaz will be first men off the bench. Mm-hmm. And
Scott.
And yeah, Mike Scott, who actually made a couple shots,
yeah,
who might end up saving himself, because now if Robinson, that would be the other starter. If it's not Robinson, it may end up being Mike Scott.
What's the line on this game?
12.5.
What's the money line?
Was
it 1,000?
Yeah, it was something like, it was really high this morning. They were actually being slow rolling it out. I was scanning it because I thought while I was still on the Jersey side, and I had to switch apps.
I made a monster money line bet this morning.
On
a college game.
You can get to it later. You'll say it now.
It's in the Big Ten.
I got it. I'll take a peek at the slate.
Take a peek. See if you can sniff it out.
All right.
Let's go. Charles in Germantown. Charles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Charles.
Hey, good afternoon, you guys.
What's up, Charles?
First of all, I go as far back with you as Eminem. Tyrone, Natalie, they bring great DNA and flavor to this show. And I'm not saying that to smooth you. I'm just telling you, you talk about what we need and what we want to get off our chest. And if it's something important, you'll put that out there. But Flyer fans are very passionate. And I'm not suggesting any of the other three sports fans aren't. But they're kind of angry at the way the time has went over the years. And I'm sure you understand that, Mike. But at the same time, there's no room to come get an attitude with you guys and say, oh, now you don't have no right. They're tripping.
Well, but see, here's the thing. Charles, you're right, but I understand it. There's a natural insecurity with being an underdog. Like, even like in our group of stations, like, I look at us as, like, we're the underdog, and we are insecure about... Have you ever hear us complain about how other stations get favorable stuff and we don't?
Well, I still see you hold
your own. It's like an insecurity that, like, it's a way of venting your insecurity.
But Flyer fans, man, they are passionate, man. I mean, I just go back as far as Fred Shiro, Cowboy Flint. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the know-all fan, but, you know, I've watched them. In fact, I've been looking forward for this game tomorrow night for nearly a week because that's my barometer. And I think that's in the Capitals' house, isn't it?
Yeah. Is the game in Washington? It's in Washington. Yeah.
That's what's going to cause.
Oh, they're not starting the kid tonight?
Excuse me?
Oh, tomorrow night they're not going to start Carter Hart.
Oh, that takes something out of it. Wow. For me, for my barometer.
Mm-hmm.
But look, I don't want to be too long, but you guys do a decent job. And I'm just saying this. You do cater to us because that's what you're there for the voice of the fans. But you also have to stick to what's going on. And I think you kind of mentioned it right because I heard someone about a few weeks ago come at your neck about the same thing. Well, it was just one Flyer fan. And
listen,
Charles,
I don't get mad at it. I understand it. And what I'm trying to do is put it out there so that maybe they can see it in the light that we see it in. But I get it. It's like when you're not paid as much attention to, what do you do? As a kid, you act up, right? If you're a kid, you're not getting paid attention to, you act up. If you're the kid in them family that gets the short shrift, you get your parents' attention by doing something, right? Well, Flyer fans don't think they've gotten the attention, and it wounds them. And so what they do to compensate for that is they organize as a club.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like us against the world mentality. And I get it. I understand where their mindset is. I'm just saying that we try to treat it as fairly as we can. Like, we can't very well come on here at the start of the year and make it a primary Flyers conversation.
No.
For a couple of reasons. A, there's not enough numbers that would support that. And B, we didn't have any idea that they were going to be a team that could actually do something. And that's fair. And the Sixers were. Sixers came into the year as a team that was supposed to do something.
Right, and they get off to a 5-0 start, and the Flyers start with the crazy going overseas, going on the road, and they struggle. And let's not forget that the Hayes, who has been great, by the way, most Flyers fans did not like their big acquisition.
No, they thought it was too much money.
Yeah, they did not like it in real time. Yeah. Now they like, and so does everyone else. At the time, Sixers fans liked the Al Horford situation. So coming in, Sixers fans had some positivity coming in, while most Flyers fans were pessimistic about the pickups. They had both franchises and both fan bases were wrong. The Sixers fans were wrong and the Flyers fans were wrong.
Yes.
That's how it looks. So yeah, they both were wrong.
And so now, listen, what's in front of us? The Flyers are the team that's in front of us that has the best chance to win something. So if you're offended that we, I don't know why you'd be offended, but if you are.
There's a perception that that hockey and it is treated by the media with contempt.
It's not contempt. It's just not as much interest. You know, this is where they make the big mistake. Like they think it's contempt when it's not. It's just realistic. It's like a realism.
Yeah, like they're kind of projecting the contempt for the lack of interest in it.
Right. Like if a sports god came down and go, all right, we're changing the rules of the sports world. From now on, hockey will be the main sport of America. And if the sports god flipped the attack, guess what? That would flip us.
Yeah.
And it would be, okay.
Yeah, like it's not a personal thing.
Right.
They're taking it very personal, and it's not personal.
But they're taking it personally because it's an insecurity of the small kid not being paid enough attention to. And I'm not trying to, that's not trying to be like offensive. It's what it is.
Because
I put myself in that spot.
Right.
If I wasn't paid attention to, and I'm screaming for attention, I'm beating on the... Wrong. I just wrecked my watch. I just broke my watch. No. Like, you know, that's the way it comes out. It's
yeah.
Like, okay. Now mom's got to pay attention to him.
Right.
But then the next day comes, and it's back to the normal.
Yeah, but you don't get mad at your mom when she finally pays attention.
No, you just want her to keep it going. You get mad at her before she doesn't pay attention. And that's what they are in.
That pre-attention phase.
Right. And then it's the bratty kid that goes, well, now you're paying attention to me. I don't want your attention. Right?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of Flyer fans will do.
It's always fun. And if you think about when the Flyers made runs, you know, back, what, 97, 2010? And what a fun time that was for the city when everybody was on board.
Yes.
So why be like resistant to the possibility of that happening? It's always good for the city in general when one of our teams is doing well.
Yes, but
it's a really fun time in Philadelphia.
It is, but there are that club thing. It also happens sometimes. Certain male fans don't respect the female fans because they think the female fans are fair weather. It happened mostly with the Phillies. Oh, now the girls are here because they're winning. I was there at the vet, the 700 level. There was some of that. There's always, in this city, I guess it might be everywhere.
Well, you can't cure sexist mentality.
No,
when it comes to sports.
No, they're saying that you guys weren't there when I was at the 700 level watching Mike Schmidt strike out. Now here you come showing up at the new ballpark. I remember that there's always a little bit of that in this city.
Right, but when you're sitting in the 700 level by yourself watching Mike Schmidt and you wish that they were good, didn't you want everybody else to be there with you?
These guys didn't.
Well, that's on them.
Let's go to Keith in Upper Darby. Keith, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Keith?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
How you doing, man?
All right, man. So, speaking of keeping it real, I'm just going to keep it real quick.
Okay.
I'm having a tough time understanding this expectation thing. Let me explain what I'm saying. So, whenever I purchase a ticket to a Sixers game, cable network channel, any apparel, at no time on my receipts does it guarantee a chip. What I'm saying is, to me, there's a difference between being or having expectation and being an optimistic fan. And I can tell you this, the Sixers have a winning record, and every time I've made a purchase, they have not let me down.
Yeah, but that's different than the way we're looking at it. But if you're a satisfied customer, knock yourself out.
I'm satisfied.
I'm looking at it like the expectations coming in were supposed to be loftier than what they're going to turn out to be. So I've got to point that out. So in other words, they didn't do as right by their fans as they should have. They made some misjudgments here.
It's entertainment, Mike.
Come on, man. It's not entertainment to us. We got to take it like life and death.
They won it at home. They haven't let me down this year. And the season ain't over.
Keith, you sound a little soft here. You see, when you look at this team, you're telling me it's enough for you that they win games at home that you go to? That's enough for you?
Nah, the season ain't over, man, and I'm not a whiner. That's all.
Okay, so what's the season in your crystal ball, the Keith crystal ball? What do you see?
What do I see? Well, I mean, let's be realistic again. Yeah, we did lose two stars, Reddick and Butler. Okay, so at the initial start of the season, I thought the Sixers were no better than 500. So if there is a such
thing... Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
If there is a such thing as expectation, because the Sixers didn't replace them, they are exceeding my expectations right now.
Well, but wait a minute. Let's go back. You said that you expected no better than 500. So that was doing right by you? What they turned out to do, you weren't angry to have your conclusion come to that they're only a 500 team. That didn't make you angry as a fan.
Okay. Let me say this, Mike. No, I mean, you know, the objective is to win a chip. However, let's say, this is what I'm saying. If I purchase a season ticket, right, and I decided not to renew it because the Sixers are losing, somebody's going to replace me.
Well, it doesn't.
I'm going to go anyway.
Keith, forget the ticket sales, because you're like one of 20,000 that go to the games. There are hundreds of thousands of others that watch it not at the arena. So what I'm telling you is the perception of you as a fan. Forget your price and what your satisfaction is out of your ticket. When you looked at the team and in your head you thought they were no better than 500, that you didn't get mad at the organization for that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the objective is to win a chip. But at the end of the day, it's entertainment.
Come on, man. I don't like fans like you a little bit. At the end of the day, it's not entertainment. It's bigger than entertainment. The circus is entertainment. Disney on Ice is entertainment. You leave those two and you don't have to think about them again. You go to a Sixer game, it's supposed to lead to something bigger. That's the idea.
Those losses linger with me, man. I'm in a bad mood all night.
Satisfied because they have a home winning record? And they're ass on the road? And that doesn't matter to you? Well, that's a different fan than I'm used to. 610-632-0975 is how you climb out. The other side, the travails of Spike Lee and the ticket price situation. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show. The Fanatic.
2:46. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. So much to get into today. And we will. Sal Powell will join us a little later in the show, too, by the way. So we'll talk about the NFL and what's going on with the collective bargaining agreement and who the Eagles may pick in the first round. Just saw a mock draft that has Eagles not trading up in the first round to get a receiver, but staying right there and landing Justin Jefferson of LSU with the 21st pick.
So that means you'd have him in your pocket at the end of the first day and 9 more picks.
Maybe.
I'm saying if it went down the chain,
you don't play dangerous games like that, Tyrone, is what I'm saying.
I hear you, but you gotta. I'm sure in other cities right now, there are people who are in love with Ruggs and those other receivers too. So the question is going to be, Howie may have already made the phone call for all we know or started making calls. You say, okay, I got to get above 15. So you call 14. 14 goes, I got 29 calls. I ain't moving.
Yeah.
All right, you call 13.
Okay, so you get something in place. In case.
In case, but that's the thing. You don't know what the other team really needs.
I hear you. All right.
And that's the thing.
Okay.
And the other thing that can help the Eagles possibly is these quarterbacks. Now there might be 4 quarterbacks taken in like the top 12.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't 4 good enough quarterbacks to be taken in the top 12. That helps wide receivers fall.
True.
I mean, what is that? The Utah State kid's now going to go in the top 6?
Yep.
What?
Yeah, it's an overreach. This is like that Duke kid that the Giants selected. Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he's not ready.
Yeah.
Not just too soon. I mean,
people are desperate for quarterbacks, man. They see a little bit of arm strength. They see, like, somebody that kind of looks like Mahomes, the way he delivers the football. And they go, all right, we need a guy like Mahomes.
He just drafts him.
You know, you take a shot.
Right.
All right, so last night, Spike Lee. Yeah, the Knicks win, by the way.
Bunch of upsets.
They beat the Houston Rockets last night. So Spike Lee comes in and he uses the press entrance / employees entrance, which all arenas have, all ballparks have. So I guess Spike Lee, as a longtime ambassador for the Knicks and the season ticket holder for a long time, had a special privilege to get into the building. Well, last night apparently he didn't, because they stopped him. And it said, you can't use this entrance anymore. You have to go into another entrance. And he went crazy. So, if remember, the backdrop, he references Charles Oakley. A couple of months ago, Charles Oakley was handcuffed at the Garden for, well, I don't even know what reason. Was he causing a fuss?
He got into it with Dolan.
Oh, he got into it with the owner?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Spike Lee comes in last night. And they go, sorry, Mr. Lee, you can't come in here anymore. And this is what happened.
But no one told me.
All right, so he said, I'm staying right here. We go arrest me, like put my hands in handcuffs like Oakley. So here, let's examine this here. All right, now, first of all, Spike all these years has been taking advantage of his celebrity by going into that entrance, right? That's not disputed.
Yeah,
they've been allowing him to do that.
He says for 20 years, they've been allowing him to use it. It's right. On 33rd Street, he claimed.
Yes. Now, does he have a different status than any other fan who pays that first row price? Like, are other first row fans going through that entrance?
My guess is no.
Okay. All right. So let's lay out facts. This is like you're in a court. All right, so that's balanced by A, he is an ambassador for the Knicks, who brings the Knicks great acclaim because he's a number one fan. Sometimes he goes over the top in his complaints for the Knicks. But also, maybe it's prudent to have Spike use that entrance to protect him for his celebrity status. In other words, he comes in like every schlepper. Then he's got more of a chance to get harassed by somebody. And you don't want that, because celebrities just sometimes have a neon sign on them. They're celebrities, and other people feel the right to harass them.
Yes.
All right, so that's the balance here. So I don't know what the inner story is, whether Dolan doesn't like Spike Lee. They just had a transition where the Cherry Hill native Leon Rose is now their president. So I don't know why they would pick last night to pick on Spike. He was on with First Take with Stephen A, ranting and raving again, saying he's never gone to another Knicks game.
No, he said this season.
Yeah. And that he doesn't have any particular beef with Dolan. He's never had any beef with him at all. So he doesn't know why they would pick last night. What's your theory on this?
The other thing is, he said a month ago, apparently afterwards, there's a certain ramp at the Garden to get out. And he always used that. And then a month ago, they told him he could no longer use it. He says his biggest issue isn't that it was the fact that they didn't tell him. So he just shows up and doing it the same way. And no one called him. Uh-huh. No one sent an email, anything.
So it embarrassed him last night, right, that he was held up.
He says that if someone had told him, hey, this is the new protocol, he would have did the new protocol. Apparently no one told him what he's been doing all season and all for 20 years. All of a sudden it wasn't okay.
So he was being used as an example.
Right. And I think the reason is, the Knicks right now are a very bad brand.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that the people who know Leon Rose claim that he's good at branding.
Yeah. Well, they hired a specific brand dude, too.
Right. And I think they're trying to take Spike Lee away from that Knicks branch. And they're hoping to, I think they're hoping he goes away with the hopes.
Okay, well, why? Like, what negative stain would Spike Lee put on the brand?
It's not a negative stain. It's that you're never going to, well, as long as Spike is there, no star, even a more popular star, they'll all be second fiddle to Spike as long as Spike's there.
So they want to remove Spike so other bigger stars could come in?
Or somebody else. So let's say you get the Peele.
Jordan Peele?
You get him instead. Let's just for an example, right?
Yeah.
New face, newer movies, fresher. I think they want to rebrand the Knicks.
Wow.
That's kind of weird because Spike is still making movies.
I agree with that, but it's... Yeah.
He's Spike Lee.
Right, but he...
Come on.
Well, listen.
That has been talked about.
I don't even know what to say. I'm sure Jack Nicholson's old. Right,
but the Lakers are a class organization.
I guarantee you, he has his own special entrance.
Absolutely, he's not coming in everybody else.
That's what I mean.
You can't, and it's you don't do that. You don't, and they were doing it. If you're in just for inflation, he has spent. They said $3 million on tickets. $3 million just the last 10 years. That's during the Dolan era, but. Before that, he spent more. So you take a guy who has given you $3 million of his money, and then you don't even give him a phone call when you change the protocol? Why else would you do that? Now, think about it. If you give somebody $3 million, Mike, you've worked here 10 years. So, all right, 10 years with Spike. If they're going to ask you to come in a different way, don't you want them to tell you before you arrived?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. They couldn't tell Spike when he was home?
Yeah.
Hey, come in a different way.
They could have. They probably could have. All right, so this whole thing's amusing. But anyway, it led me to think about ticket prices. Now, Spike Lee for that ticket pays like $3,700 a ticket to sit in that seat. He's there. Now, the Sixers just had a price increase.
Yes.
So my buddy has two seats that are perpendicular to the Sixers bench on the row behind the basket. His tickets went up to $1,787 a seat. The first row seats. Now, the Sixers will keep a few of those open for celebrities that at the last second, like Gucci Mane comes in. He gets that.
Will Smith once a year. And
right. So let's just say there's 80 tickets from along both sides of the first row.
Yeah.
About that, probably. Tickets have now risen to $2,341 a seat. So that first row ticket cost you $2,341 a seat. I know a guy who has four seats on that first row. His bill is $355,000 for four seats.
So that's $87,500 per season per seat.
Yeah.
I mean, when you do the math, I'm saying that divided by...
Oh, my God. I guess that dude with the white hair can do anything he wants.
If you're spending that kind of cash.
Yeah, hold up a sign. Go ahead, knock yourself out. 610-632-0975. Back after this.